Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The Supreme Court simply made up out of whole cloth a right to kill unborn children. There is no warrant for it in anything in the Constitution.
Institutions, not only in terms of healthcare, but generally, seem to be collapsing. Trust in institutions. And it's not paranoia. Our institutions have failed us repeatedly.
God has not given your children to the public school system or any school system. He has given them to you as a trust from Him. So you have a divine duty to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
So if we had people whose names were on our membership rosters and we were reporting these people as members of our congregations, but they weren't showing up on Sunday morning, we were really creating a paper church versus an actual one on Sunday morning.
Northern Indiana Purple Martin landlords love listening to Issues Etc. while tending their colonies.
Here's a headline from NBC News, what U.S. abortion access looks like in graphics. States are passing more abortion restrictions, which could reshape what abortion access looks like across the country. What does that word mean, abortion access? We hear it an awful lot from the proponents of abortion, but there's no doubt about it, a tidal wave of state legislation restricting at one level or another the procedure of abortion. Some are gestational limits. Some are, well, it will be illegal to abort a baby with Down syndrome. And some are close to outright bans. We're going to talk about those state laws and why so many of them have been passed lately with Ingrid Duran. First thing here on Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of July. After the conversation with Ingrid Duran of National Right to Life, we'll spend some time with you, our listeners, going through your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness will join us to talk about recommendations made to the Senate Armed Forces Committee about women and the military draft. And then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on Jesus rebuking a storm in Luke chapter 8. Joining us to discuss an NBC News story on abortion restrictions in the U.S., Ingrid Duran. She's State Legislative Director for National Right to Life. Ingrid, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
Do you think that the NBC News story fairly represented the state laws restricting abortion?
I think that the NBC News story was fair enough. I guess the issue for me was more about the accuracy, and that was important. And so I saw a couple of things in the graphics that I would probably disagree with, or saw a few things missing. For instance, they have that Maryland has a parental consent law. And while there is a parental consent law on the books, the National Right to Life Committee considers the Maryland law an ineffective statute because it allows the abortionist to waive parental consent if he doesn't think that it is in the minor's best interest, that it could lead to physical or emotional abuse, and then if he feels that the minor is mature, he can go ahead, or he or she can go ahead and waive the parental notice. And so in that case, a state like Maryland, I wouldn't necessarily categorize that as having a parental notification statute because it allows the abortionist to consent for the minor's parents instead.
What do advocates for abortion mean when they talk about access to abortion and banning abortion?
Well, when they're talking about access to abortion, this is their mission of having an unfettered right to abortion with no common sense laws as far as like parental involvement, informed consent, reflection periods. And then banning abortion is, you know, they use this language to frame the issue in a way to scare people instead of saying, you know, that this is banning abortion, I would counter that this is actually protecting unborn children from abortion. And many of the abortion bans have exceptions for life of the mother or for the physical health of the mother. So I think that it is just inflammatory language used by our opponents to scare people into believing that what they need is this unfettered right to abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy.
Why have so many states introduced or passed restrictions on abortion lately?
Well, I think that over the years, so I've been doing this for about 25 years now in state legislation at the National Right to Life Committee, and I think that we know a lot more about the developing unborn child, and while Roe versus Wade was erroneously decided, I think that states believe that it is within their power in protecting preborn lives, protecting mothers, and having these common sense protection laws. And, you know, if the federal government isn't going to step in and protect unborn children who are capable of feeling pain from abortion, then you have 18 other states that have.
Have any states banned abortion completely?
No. There have been states that have passed laws that have all been enjoined. So you have, like, for instance, within the last couple of years, Alabama and Arkansas passed through their legislatures and their governor has signed a direct abortion ban. So this is not a heartbeat. This isn't at a particular age. It's just banning abortion completely. However, those are still in litigation, and so they have not been in effect. And so I would say on paper, yes, you have a few states that have banned abortions or have pre-Roe abortion bans on the books, but those are not operative laws, and so they're not being enforced.
What is a trigger law, and what states have them?
So a trigger law is a law that will spring into effect once either the Supreme Court or a court of competent jurisdiction rules that states can protect unborn children from abortion. And so right now we have 13 states that have passed a trigger law, and they are Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah. And in Idaho, one thing to note that is different about all the other ones is that all of the other trigger laws, the 12 that I've mentioned, are abortion ban trigger laws. Idaho's is a heartbeat bill trigger law. And so that's the only difference between Idaho and the other 12 that I mentioned. And so these laws are not in effect, they're not in litigation, but once there is a court of competent jurisdiction that gives the power to the states to have these protective laws, that's when these will go into effect.
What states have are considering laws restricting abortion when a baby has a genetic anomaly?
Well, we have about 12 states, and 12 states have passed a law, whether it is a quote-unquote genetic anomaly or it may be because of Down syndrome. If you go to www.nrlc.org/state-ledge, I have a list of like all these different maps, and in one of them, we show the 12 states and what kind of law it is, whether it's an anti-discrimination against sex, race, and genetic anomaly, or just a Down syndrome ban. And so I will tell you that whether it's Down syndrome or some kind of disability of the unborn child, the states that have passed it are Arizona, Arkansas, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Utah. And it is in litigation, so these are not in effect right now in Arkansas, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Missouri. In Arizona, it will be in effect 91 days after their session ends because it was just passed this session. And I would have to get back to you on the precise date because that I don't know. And in Utah, it's a contingency on when a court of competent jurisdiction allows for these states to protect unborn children who may have a disability. That's when the Utah law would go into effect. But it's also important to know that, for instance, in Ohio and Tennessee, those were challenged, those faced litigation, and they were allowed to go into effect.
What are gestational limit laws, and which states have those?
Well, we have two different types of gestational limit laws. On one hand, you have the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. This was created by the National Right to Life Committee, and it's model legislation that was first passed in Nebraska. And this is a law that protects unborn children once they're capable of feeling pain at 20 weeks post-fertilization age, which is 22 weeks gestation. So far, we have 18 states that have passed an NRLC-type pain-capable unborn child protection law, and they are Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. But then you have other gestational time limit laws, and some of these may or may not include findings on the unborn child's capacity to feel pain. So the states that have these gestational time limits, for instance, Arizona, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, North Carolina, and Tennessee all have a 20-week gestational time limit ban. It is not in effect in any of these states with the exception of Mississippi. Mississippi is the only one that has a 20-week gestational age limit in effect. The rest are in litigation with the exception of Montana, which will go into effect on October 1st, later on this year. Then you have Arkansas and Utah that have passed 18-week gestational bans. And then Mississippi has a 15-week gestational ban, which will be heard by the Supreme Court in the fall. And Louisiana also passed a 15-week gestational limit, but it has a contingency date based on the outcome of the litigation in Mississippi, since both Mississippi and Louisiana share the same circuit court of appeals.
We're talking with Ingrid Duran, State Legislative Director of National Right to Life, about an NBC News story on abortion restrictions in the U.S. What about so-called heartbeat bills? Next.
You can call it what you like. I call it love.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love the truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your will. Help us to quietly seat us.
The 21st century.
What life God wants, till we just cease. A time for love, a time for peace.
The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
We're discussing abortion access in the U.S. with Ingrid Dran of National Right to Life. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It was great seeing Deaconess Tiffany Manor, Director of Life Ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at our Making the Case conference. LCMS Life Ministry advocates for the unborn, weak, and vulnerable. Check out their free pro-life resources at lcms.org/life. lcms.org/life. Ingrid, what about so-called heartbeat laws?
So we have about 11 states that have heartbeat bills, and this will protect unborn children once there's a detectable heartbeat. And Arkansas, Georgia, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Texas have all enacted a ban on a heartbeat bill. However, all of these are in litigation, with the exception of Louisiana. Louisiana also had a contingency date based on any litigation, the outcome of the litigation in Mississippi. And so none of these heartbeat bills are actually in effect. They're still in litigation, so it's pending the outcome. And then, as I had mentioned earlier, Alabama and Arkansas have an abortion ban that is not dependent on a biological marker of the unborn child.
How are the states dealing with proposed punishments for those who violate these laws?
Well, the states all vary. Most of the penalties in these laws only go after the abortionist performing abortions outside of the scope of this law. So if they break the law, it could either be an administrative penalty where there's a fine and maybe some kind of, you know, like that they can't practice medicine for a certain period of time. Some of these are also misdemeanors or felonies, depending on each state. It might be like a Class C felony or a Class A felony or something along those lines. The other thing that we have in some of our laws, like for instance, our dismemberment, abortion bans, and pain capable laws, we not only have the penalty for the abortionist who break the laws, but we also provide civil remedies for women who have had abortions to give them standing in order to sue the abortionist if they were wronged or if they were somehow, if there was like some kind of harm done to them, whether it's psychological or physical.
How have some states used constitutional amendments?
So these have been really useful in states where a court has ruled that under their state constitution, there is an implied right to abortion. So, for instance, and I'll use Kansas as an example because that'll be going on their ballot now in August. A few years ago, with the dismemberment abortion ban, this is another piece of legislation spearheaded by the National Right to Life Committee. Kansas passed a dismemberment ban. This is a gruesome procedure protecting unborn children from that procedure, and their state Supreme Court found an implied right to abortion under the Kansas Constitution. So our affiliate, Kansans for Life, has started a campaign to put a question on the ballot, just making it clear that under the Kansas state constitution, there is no right to abortion or the funding of abortion. So that therefore, when a state legislature and their governor pass these laws, these protective laws, those laws can be followed and will be able to be enacted. And then, therefore, we can have effective legal protection for unborn children. recently, Tennessee and West Virginia were successful in passing a constitutional amendment, and it was passed by the voters. And that was because the state courts in Tennessee and West Virginia had found a right to abortion, and it made enforcing the pro-life laws that had been passed, whether it was on funding or just on informed consent, just very basic common sense protective laws. And these laws were not allowed to be enforced because of this finding in that court decision. And so because Tennessee and West Virginia have passed this, now those states are able to pass effective protective laws that protect unborn children from abortion.
Tell us about the laws passed by 14 states and the District of Columbia to protect completely unrestricted abortion.
Yeah, so we've been trying to fight this in a lot of states. These are very similar to what New York passed in, I believe it was 2019, the Reproductive Health Act, which would give unfettered access to abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. It also makes it difficult for the legislature to enact protective pro-life laws that protect unborn children. And these are enacted in states and the District of Columbia in a manner that does not take the unborn child into consideration at all. And it makes it very difficult to have, let's say, like an effective parental involvement law or an effective women's right to know informed consent law. And it also removes any existing, like for instance, in New York, it removed an existing law that dealt with fetal homicide, where the unborn child would be seen as a separate victim. If the unborn child's mother was attacked or killed, it would include both the mother and the child as a separate victim. Well, New York, with their Reproductive Health Act, got rid of that, their unborn victims of violence law. And as I mentioned, when these come up in the states, we really try to do everything in our power to kill these type of bills and to lift the veil on what they actually do and how this is detrimental to our mission in the Right to Life movement.
Finally, how likely do you think it is that the Dobbs case currently before the U.S. Supreme Court will be decided in such a way as to reverse Roe?
Well, I don't know so much that the Supreme Court is likely to reverse Roe. I think when we talk about huge shifts in precedent when it comes to the Supreme Court case, I think that reversal, it takes time, but I do think that it will be likely, or at least I'm hoping for there to be a decision where certain aspects of Roe and Casey will be chipped away at. For instance, the viability standard, now that we know so much more about the unborn child and that we know that unborn children are surviving at earlier rates than we did in the 1970s, we just have a more science to explain what happens to the developing unborn child in the womb, their capacity to feel pain, their neurological development. And so I am hopeful that the Dobbs case will start to move away from the viability standard and move towards more protective language, allowing states to have these laws that protect unborn children who are capable of feeling pain, or unborn children at 15 weeks once they've met so many huge milestones.
Ingrid Duran is State Legislative Director for National Right to Life. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Ingrid, thank you so much.
Todd, thank you so much for having me. I hope you're having a great day.
When we come back, we'll go through your listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. If you were unable to attend this year's Making the Case conference, we have good news for you. We've produced a recording of each of the speakers' presentations, all of the worship services, and the hymn sing. You can watch an on-demand video stream, a DVD, or flash drive for a tax-deductible contribution of $300 by Labor Day. Learn more at issuesetc.org or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.